I've heard the criticism. You spend a long time in worship. Do you know why? No, you tell me why. Why do we spend a long time? Why do we labor in worship? Why do we just linger? I mean, we could just.
So sweet.
In fact, good.
You know, if you just wanted to just like, well, at your church, you're supposed to sing. That's one thought. Oh. And so you do two songs and you move on, I guess.
No.
Literally, I feel like.
It's
I feel like I get pulled in.
Warm up.
I kept seeing Bath, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, like that thing where you just like, once you get in, you really don't want to leave, do you? Like that warm, that comfortable place. I really feel that worship does that. It like pulls you into Him. And we spend a lot of time disconnecting, I guess, throughout the week. But for a moment, we're learning how to like... stay in Him, stay connected to Him. And I told you I wanted to, you know, one of the things we talked about last week, because the Bible constantly is releasing this thought to us, just like we read in Ephesians, by the way, in Ephesians 3, when we talked about, He said, oh, that they would just know Me, that they would know My love. And we talked about it last week with... And how the Hebrews talked about it, and then how we see it in the New Testament in the Greek, this like that knowing Him has many more layers than what we traditionally think of it is. Because if you hear the word know something, you immediately, most likely, you immediately go to right here, don't you?
Right.
You go to your mind. It's like, do you know this? It's really fun when you start to recognize that when Jesus talks about knowing Him, it's layers and layers beyond that. The word that we peeled into last week was yada. You ever heard maybe the old Seinfeld days, yada yada yada?
Oh yeah.
what were they doing when they did that? Yada yada yada.
Yada, yada.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, stop talking. You know, it's like, it really is about, you know, I get it. I got it. Thanks for reminding me. I got it, you know. And but it's fun that when you look at this word, because yada is all throughout the Bible, right? And I told you in the New Testament, the word that we see presented is gnosko. And they both represent the same kind of depth. And I just wanted to share with you this thought about Yada, Him, when He talks about knowing Him, that there's lots of dimensions to it. And there's probably like five distinct layers of Yada. And they kind of crescendo. They kind of build up into this, oh, this is what our worship was, what we just experienced in worship. And I thought I'd just kind of share what I think of those layers are. Okay, so this, because the first dimension, a lot of times we don't leave the first step, right? So if you think of it like we're building muscle here, or we're growing, or we're, like they're building blocks, it's important to know where He's taking us, right? So this first dimension of yada, it means to know something or to know someone in detail. Like you're studying them. You're analyzing them. You're interpreting it. So you might think of it this way. Like you're a detective and you're on at the crime scene, right? So what's he doing? He's looking for clues. He's looking to discover things like, who is this? What's going on here? Right? Takes pictures, right? So there's this investigation of the person or the thing, right? Here's a question for you. How much more of God do you think there is to know?
Oh. Infinite.
So it's an interesting thought when you actually throw the question out there, because I remember being in college after my brilliant years of growing up in church, and when I met Darla in college, I thought, I know everything about God.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. I was convinced, because God for me was, my mom used to have these little Bible trivia questions on our kitchen table.
Yeah.
And when we would eat breakfast, we would occasionally pull the question out and like, how many wise men were there? Right?
Oh, I know that. Three.
Wait, four. No, three. Right? And you're like, you got some, and when I was in high school, they had Bible trivia.
Uh-huh.
It's like, everybody wanted to be on their team.
I knew
the answers, right? And you get to this point where you're thinking, I know God.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it is like, it's breakthrough when you actually answer the question, when you realize, oh my gosh, there's so much more to Him. It is, for me, it was literal breakthrough to realize there's so much more to Him. But can you see how you can actually stop looking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can actually stop asking the question, because you're convinced
right.
There's no more to know. There's no more to discover.
Or that it's
only
in Him.
Right. No kidding. Or how about this? Have you ever read in your Bible, and you've read the verse many times, and it's probably been preached on lots, and all of a sudden you read it and go, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, because we've said that before, right? I didn't know this. But yet you've read the same thing. And all of a sudden there's this waking up. It's almost like, remember the Where's Waldo books?
Mm-hmm.
For our house, it was I Spy books.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know what Waldo looks like. You know exactly what he's wearing. And yet you're staring at the page going, where is he? But you're searching. And then when you find Waldo, do you know that when you go back to that book later or that same scene, you go, oh, I know where Waldo is. I've done this before. I know he's right behind the refrigerator or something, right? And so it's the same thing with discovery in His Word. When you woke up and you read that verse, you went, oh my gosh, this is what it's showing me. You know, next time you go back to that verse, you remember.
Yeah.
It's like you're building and growing. But there's with Paul in Ephesians, that same what we read in Ephesians 3, in Ephesians 1, he's telling this to them. He says, he's praying on behalf of believers. He's praying on behalf of the Christians. And he says, he prays that they would have this spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they would know Him better, right? You know what he's praying for? He's praying for, don't stop asking the question. Don't stop searching. Don't stop looking. Always have this, where's the more of Him? Where is He at? Always have this attitude of, God, I know there's another dimension to You. I know there's another layer. I know there's another truth You want to show me. I know I don't get it. I know there's more. And Paul is saying, oh, that they would have that heart for discovery, right? So there's this, right? So there's we're the detective on the scene. That's the one layer of knowing. The second layer of it is that you would know something technically. No, let me say this. It's like, it's not just that I know that something works. I know that, right, that when I turn that light switch on, the light comes on. Right? But it's, I know what's behind the switch, what's feeding the power to the house, how is it wired up there, right? There's another layer that says, not only do I know that lights go on when I do the switch, but I can actually get into it, and I know the makings. So if you know me, because I just repaired that light right there. And I didn't know what to do, and so Dave helped me, and it required me going in the attic and taking pictures and sending them to Dave and saying, Dave, what is this? Because it was not a regular light, and I actually, he had to, and it took me weeks, by the way, right, Dave, to like, most of it was to be courageous enough to go
get
up there. And
get shot.
Yeah, and so, because Dave knows technically how it works, so it's like, there's another layer, there's a depth of it. I have this fun story, like, with plumbing, too. I usually call, my people to call her Adolf, by the way, ladies. If you need anything fixed, call Adolf. Call Dave. Call David.
Don't call Danny.
Because that Danny's going to go, yeah, we did that fix. Adolf, what should we do? I had a plumbing problem. And I'm thinking, I went to the Home Depot, and I got the orange book.
The one that says dummies?
It's like how to fix anything. And Home Depot's got a thing. It's like, okay, what's your problem? My problem is leaky faucet. Go to the leaky faucet section. It says, this faucet, I have that one. And then it says, here's what you'll need.
Wow.
You're going to need this, and this, and this, and this. And you know what I did? I went to the store, and I bought this, and I got all these things. And I'm an engineer. And I'm sitting out here on the carpet, Indian style, and I've got the book with pictures framing, and I've got all the this and this and this and this laying around, and I'm making a plan in my head. Okay, step one, I'm going to do this. Step two, and I'm getting this battle plan in my head how to fix it all, right? And I'm studying the manual. And David's dad, John, walks in my house, and he comes in, and he goes, he laughs at me because he knows, like, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get this, right? And he comes in and goes, what's going on? And I said, I've got a leaky faucet. And he goes, where? And I tell him it's in the front bathroom. And I said, so I've got all this stuff. And he comes back in like 60 seconds and he goes, I've got all my parts. I'll lay it out on the floor. And he goes, like, gives it his foot. Kicks it. Take that back. And he goes, and he says, give me that right there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what? And I give it to him, and I swear to you, he comes back in 60 seconds and goes, oh, you're done. Wait! And he did show me how to fix it. But and then it's like, look, all you have to do is this. But there's another layer of technically knowing how something works, right? So there's a lot of people know a lot of stuff about God, and they may even know that layer of like how he operates, so to speak, like why things connect this way, why things move this way. You know that Moses, I could teach on that one all alone, but Moses has this encounter with God on the mountain, and he's actually praying to God, and he says, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways. What's he asking? Show me how to fix the faucets. Show me how you fix faucets. Show me how you repair lights. Show me the detailed things, because he goes on to say, teach me your ways so that I can
know you.
Yada. So that I could, like, know how you move. Know how you operate in situations. Right? So that's the other layer, right? So there's the first one's the detective on the scene. Like, okay, who is this person? Mm-hmm. The second one is this technical layer of, okay, and here's how things happen. The third one, I would say, of Yada is personal experience. Okay? Personal experience. It's another layer. Remember, we're crescendoing here. So if I said, hey, Adolf, I'm going to take you to Hawaii, and I'm gonna cover everything. He's going to go, woo-hoo, right? And we're going to talk about the beaches and whatever, and the drinks with the umbrellas, right? And then we're getting excited about, I'm going to Hawaii. And I said, and now we're going to fly over, and here's the good part, I'm going to fly you. And he's going to go, I didn't know you could fly. And I'm going to say, oh, no. It's like I want to say, oh, I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. You know? No, I saw it on YouTube. We're good. Right? I downloaded all the how to fly videos. and we're good to go, Adolf. What's the appropriate response from Adolf?
No.
No.
Thank you, Mike. Heck no! It's like, you have no experience. And it's like, sometimes people think, this is enough. I'll just read this. Now I know him. The other ones go, okay, well, I went to church too. So that's enough. Right? There's nothing to replace, like, the environment of being in presence and observing firsthand and participating in what he's doing and how he's doing it. And we use this word sometimes, encounter, right? That you would have an encounter with God. And here's the truth. What God wants you to have that encounter. God, everything about him is positioned so you would have an encounter, an experience with him, right? That you would have this, that Where's Waldo moment, that you would have that oh my gosh, that you would have that experience of like that sensation of what is, like this waking up to his love, this connecting with his love. Because here's what he's wanting. It's like, I have this encounter, and his heart is so that you could become an encounter.
Right.
So his whole game plan is that you would have this experience with him so that you could be an experience.
Yeah.
So you could have an experience.
Right.
And so we'll use language that, like, hosting his presence, we'll talk about. That's this becoming the encounter. I connect with him and I leak him. I actually like I'm the wet sponge. Like, I've soaked up. I've just like, wow, I've got him all over me and I'm literally dripping. And the benefit of this dripping is me praying for your neck, or Adolf having a prophetic word for you, or, and so we release this leaking on each other, right? Mm-hmm. But the whole purpose is that through signs and wonders and miracles, that my encounter becomes your encounter, right? There's this, in Habakkuk, and we don't look too much at the old prophets much, but when you, in Habakkuk, he's having this moment in the early part of the first couple chapters. And Habakkuk's praying, like, God, what's the answer to all this problem here? Habakkuk's praying, like, this place is a mess. It looks like we're losing. What's the answer? What are you going to do here? And he's frustrated because it looks like the enemy's winning. It looks like the bad guys are winning. Looks like the enemy's winning.
Right.
And God answers Habakkuk, you know, middle of the second chapter. And it's a verse you've probably heard before, but he says that he's kind of like affirming him what's going on. He says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And we always, for me, and maybe for you, we immediately go to this saying of the glory of the Lord covers the earth. His glory is going to cover the earth. But and just a real quick reminder, what's glory? So, right. So glory is that, just think of it as that, glory is that thing that is revealing, pointing, it's revealing Father, pointing to Father, it's uncovering Father, his essence, his attributes, his character, right? So glory is like this peeling back of blinders on Father and his children, right? That's what glory is. So the fun part about that verse, he says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that's what Habakkuk says. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth. There's a huge difference between the glory of the Lord covering the earth and me and you experiencing this encounter to be that encounter. Right?
Because knowledge is...
So, yada. He says, so the way this glory covers the earth is the encounter and being the encounter. Right? It's like, it's the soaking up and the leaking. Right? And you realize, oh my gosh. It's not knowing. It's not the head fact of the glory. It's the experiencing. It's the stepping into this relational encounter with him. That's how, like, glory. It says, the verse about glory, glory.
Mm-hmm.
I just went blank, Darla. About,
see in the mirror.
No, about how
we're going
from glory to glory. I honestly believe that's what it's talking about. There's this encounter with his love, and then it becomes this greater thing that swells inside of you, and it becomes her encounter. And his, and there's this, can you just see these like expanding orbs of love, right? That are like, and it's releasing glory. Because what's all of it doing? Pointing to the Father. All
right.
That's what glory is. It's revealing, it's pulling off blinders and uncovering Father, right? So, in John 8, he says this: "You'll know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will what?
That's great.
So here's that gnosko, that dimensional yet, you know, yada. Right? What sets me? What am I setting free from? Counterfeit culture, counterfeit kingdom, into the kingdom of God. Right? As I experience Him, as I encounter Him, as right, as I'm allowing this to kind of like come into me, what's happening? This culture is breaking away. It's getting like cut. All the tethers, all the anchors, breaking me free. The truth. That's the thing that's the waking up that sets us free. Right? Fourth dimension. Right? So there's the experience of knowing Him. And the fourth one is, don't make no mistake, it's the personal face-to-face encounter with Him.
Mm-hmm.
We're uncovering. Glory uncovers the Father. Glory reveals the Father. One of the things that we're anchoring ourselves in is, it's one thing to know, okay, He's God. He's out there. It's another to go, okay, He's out there and He'll take care of me or He'll provide. It's a third to go into deeper and go, oh, He's Father. But He's not an absent Father that is like that's going to provide gifts for His kids. He's a connected Father. It's, he's a Father that like intentionally is made Himself available to His kids. Right? I was thinking about when the kids were small. You've all done this, hide and seek. Right? And you're the hider, and they're going to find you. Right? And you remember what you did? Remember how well you did? Remember hiding behind the curtains, maybe?
With your feet sticking out.
Or you got on the couch with a blanket pulled over you. And they come in, they peel back the blanket.
Ah! And you're like, oh, you found
me. Remember that? Right?
You found me!
And then they're like, you know, do it again. All right. And you're looking for places to go hide. What? Were you hiding so they'll never find me now? Were you doing any of that? No. You know, you were hiding because I'm going to connect with these guys, right? Do you know that Isaiah 55 says this? Seek the Lord while He may be
found.
James says this, if we come near to Him, He'll come near to us.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one in Matthew? And he says, if you knock,
I'll answer.
It, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask, I'll always answer. There's God is like intentionally positioning himself to be found. Right? And he actually finds great joy in your searching for him. And he says, you'll always find me. I'll always return my voice to you. I'll always answer your question. And so there's this personal face-to-face encounter with him. It's like, so we're crescendoing here, right? So I know about him. I'm starting to discover his ways. I've seen his movement. I've experienced his activity around me. Maybe at church or watching somebody get prayed for. Now it's like Moses. It's like, God, I have to know this. I need this. So all of a sudden I'm waking up to this face-to-face, like, connection with him. You know, when Moses is praying for that, and sometime we'll go and dig into it. It's in Exodus 33. And he's asking God, I'm not going here without you. I can't not leaving without you. You must reveal yourself. You've got to show me who you are. He's like, God, I want this face-to-face, this personal connection with you. The people, on the other hand, are down the mountain. Right? Just the opposite. They're afraid. They're at, like, sort of level one, right? They're like, you're out there and all feeling totally like you're God way out there. I'm back here. I don't feel like I feel so disconnected. In fact, you're terrifying me. And they're saying, Moses, you go talk to him and tell us what he says. Right? Do you know that? In fact, they choose to distance themselves. Right? So you know what they got instead of relationship face-to-face? They got law. They got the law.
Rules.
They got rules. I've said this before. We've talked about it before. Religious performance is always a substitute for relationship.
There's always a counterfeit. Yeah.
Right? Religious performance is a substitute for the counterfeit of a relationship. Right? So, now, it keeps you in the game, so to speak. It does. The law kept them safe. Right? I tell people, I always use the analogy of a playpen, and we'll go down that some other time. Right? I'm not going to let the baby wander the room and hurt himself, like in light sockets and stuff, so there's a playpen. But it's a safe environment. So the law keeps them safe, but it's not freedom.
Right.
And it's not discovery, and it's not personal, right? So that's the fourth one, right? So personal face-to-face encounter. And the fifth one, layer of yada, knowing him, is sexual intimacy. Okay? Think of an intimate encounter. Right? And you're like, okay, what does that have to do with God and me? This is where I told you last week, but it says that Adam knew Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and so I'll just hype, I'll go quickly because of time, but in Scripture, you're referred to the church as the bride, right? And much of the language is about a relational connection, like as a husband and wife connection. In fact, a lot of the story, if you want to read it, you know, some great Song of Solomon, and I love how Brian Simmons describes the Song of Solomon because he's talking about this relationship between a couple, right? And he equates it to Christ, the church, right? And the church, right? But do you know that one of the God talks about his seed being in us, right? His seed is Holy Spirit, right? He says, and he's like in you. Do you know that the word for seed in the New Testament is sperma? Okay. So he's in us, right? He's Holy Spirit is in us. Holy Spirit is deposited in us. And we're learning how to have a relationship with Holy Spirit, aren't we? We're learning how to connect. And so there's these crescendoing layers of yada, of knowing him. And I enjoy the discovery that he's showing us, right? That it's not just the words on a page. It's not just the trivia questions on the kitchen table. It's not just, I saw what happened when Adolf prayed. It's, I know what happened when he came and showed me. And now I'm in this place of like, I can't move apart from you. I can't imagine what life looks like separated from you. What culture does is it goes in and chips at those layers. It's going to lie to you about your ability to move with him intimately. It's going to try to devalue your personal encounter. It's going to lie to you and try to disrupt your experiences, right? And then the Antichrist voice and science is going to try to even devalue your knowledge of him, what Scripture says, and try to corrupt it, right? But I would encourage you that worship kind of like wraps it all, if you'll let it. If you'll allow worship to take you of the place with that opening question, is there more? Worship will allow you to like go and grow and mature into these other layers of knowing him. And Paul, I love how Paul, because Paul says so much about knowing him. Because when he talks to the Philippians, he says, I just want to know you, Christ. Gnosko, I want to know you this way and the power of your resurrection. And you realize, wow, if I want to walk in that power, right, the releasing of signs and wonders and miracles, where I become their encounter, it's because of Yada. It's because I know him. And so from that, Moses said this on the mountain. He said, God, first thing he says is, God, show me your ways. Teach me. How do you work? And show me your glory. Right? I want to be a revealer of glory, right? The one who, because of your leaking, you show Father. So God, we just say thank you that plan A has never changed. It's always been about connecting with us and showing yourself to us. God, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you show us more, that more is revealed, more is uncovered, secrets are shown. God, I pray for encounters and experiences. God, I pray for moments, Waldo moments, there you are, God. And so we just say more, Holy Spirit. God, give us more this week, God, on behalf of Jesus, more, on behalf of Christmas, more, God, we ask for more of you, that we would yada you, God, we would know you. Thank you. Amen.